Columbia, Maryland was the pet project of James Rouse, one of the important figures in urban development in the second half of the 20th century. In the 1950s, James Rouse was one of the people credited with inventing the term urban renewal, and he had also built the first speculative indoor shopping mall. Indoor shopping malls were a new idea. One had been built in Minnesota under the Dayton department store chain, but James Rouse did the first one built on spec. Later in his life, in the 1970s, he pioneered the Festival Marketplace, a new kind of urban shopping center like Faneuil Hall Marketplace in Boston or Baltimore's Inner Harbor. And in the 1980s, he founded the Enterprise Foundation, a major funder of affordable housing. Columbia was his project of the 1960s, and it combined his civic ideas that he later demonstrated in the Enterprise Foundation with his ideas about urban development that he'd shown in his shopping center development. He aimed to make a racially integrated new town that would at the same time be something that property developers would copy because it was so profitable and well done. And so the big ideas behind Columbia then are this Columbia concept of racial integration and the Columbia model, which was a way of thinking about the costs and benefits of urban development. It was an early spreadsheet in the days before there were substantial computers. Rouse did this because by the 60s, he had become quite disillusioned with what he saw was the inhumane character of much urban development and redevelopment. And he became really interested in the capacity of social science ideas to reshape the way people did urban development. He was really intrigued with the possibility of making environments that could be centers for lifelong learning and for human growth. But he was a complicated figure, and he was also very influenced by his childhood growing up in a small town. He had a very deep Christian commitment that came out in a number of his writings and activities. And he also had real aspirations to create a model for the private sector, to create a General Motors for city building. This is really an example of the private sector at its most socially idealistic. When I interviewed people, they talked about working on the team as being in Camelot. Residents who'd moved there in the 1960s talked about being part of an important drama of how suburbs could be created in the future. And the Rouse Company was known as Rouse University for a long time because it attracted many talented young people who are interested in doing better development. And they did this in the context of 1960s Maryland. Columbia was approved in 1965, the year that schools were desegregated in the county when it was being approved in as a racially integrated new town. It opened in 1967, in the year that interracial marriages were made legal in Maryland. So it was really pioneering, and people bought into that dramatic part. They were very self-conscious of this. There was a historian on the planning team documenting the decisions in great detail, and some of that documentation was used in subsequent books. And they founded a group called the American City Corporation that was to educate other developers and designers about city planning and new town planning. And in fact, the developer of the Woodlands, George Mitchell, went to an American City Corporation workshop. One of the things that Columbia is known for is the social science ideas. And this was somewhat operationalized through this group called the Social Planning Work Group. It met fairly briefly for a 6 or 8 month period every 2 to 3 weeks for a weekend to think about ideas, think through ideas about issues like education, social mix, governance, recreation. There was a team of experts from around the country, including figures such as Herbert Gans, who later became a professor of sociology at Columbia, Jenks, who became a professor of education at Harvard, Chester Rapkin, a really major figure in city planning. There was one woman on the team, Antonia Chase, who'd been working in the education field. She was there to talk about women's issues. I interviewed her later when she was en route to the Balkans, where she was doing mediation. There's a lot of controversy about how much they actually influenced the development. They were much quoted, although I interviewed people who'd been some of the first employees from in the Rouse company, and they didn't ever actually read the documents they created. However, as I analyzed the work they'd done and the planning of Columbia, I think they did have quite a lot of influence in things like education, governance, and in formatting the racial and economic mix. In Columbia, they tried to mix people ethnically, house by house, but to cluster people by education and income. And that came from ideas from the social planning work group. Whether they were totally right is another thing, but they certainly were influential. And so what they did is they created a set of villages that then they laid across the landscape. And the first image here is from the social planning work group period, where they decided to have a set of villages and a town center. They then laid that across a fairly complicated landscape. They didn't own all the land in the area and created a sort of a set of villages. Then each village inside it was divided into neighborhoods with a village center. And the village centers were quite innovative in the period in that they combined both civic functions and commercial functions. So they had community centers, schools, and shops combined in a way that's actually still somewhat hard to do in urban development. But it's a fairly confusing layout when it's laid across the landscape. This is the earliest development. James Rouse himself lived here. And you can see there's a set of loops, but very hard to read. It is a confusing place to get around, although many people in Columbia like that because it helps them know who is a local and who is an outsider. In the end, what they managed to do was to have a good variety of environments with much attached housing, pioneering, though not very successfully, housing above shops, which has become much more popular lately, with very pleasant village centers, and even these days, housing in their industrial parks. So they have a number of important strategies, neighborhood centers, mixed-use development, that we now see as really being good development. But of course, what they're remembered for is managing to keep the Columbia concept alive, the Columbia concept of racial and economic integration. This is an image from one of the Columbia birthday parties showing the mixture of people who are still in Columbia. Overall, it's a development that managed to be profitable enough, though not as profitable as Rouse had hoped, and to maintain its social goals, though not to the extent that they perhaps hoped to in the initial period.